Today's scripture comes from Romans chapter 8. It's Romans chapter 8, verse 35 to 39. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Should trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So I'll ask Pastor Derek to come and share the message for today.
A total of 49 lives were taken away in a shooting in Christchurch. It was during one of the 5 daily prayer times that many Muslims were in the mosque. They were praying to their Allah. Imagine the same thing happened in our church this morning. As we worship, the killer came in, and then this week, unfortunately, will be the last Sunday of our English ministry. Would that be an unexpected thing? Yes and no. Although we haven't had much hard time or persecution in New Zealand, it should be what we expect. But certainly we didn't expect anything like that to happen to us. I hope none of us did not know what happened last Friday until now. I hope none of us care less about the shooting because it's not in Botany. I hope none of us did not pray for those who are affected. I hope none of us is less saddened because they were all Muslims. We are blessed that we know Jesus is the Son of God. Muslims don't. Muslims and Christians, we both attempt to worship the Creator. We all prayed. But unfortunately, our God is different and they don't believe Jesus is God and they don't believe Jesus is our Savior. And from that, you can expect we have huge difference in almost everything. I feel especially sad for those who are so devoted. They spend so much time, but they don't know the true God. I hope none of us think like the Queensland Senator Fraser Anning. He claims the real cause of bloodshed on New Zealand streets today is the immigration program which allow Muslim fanatics to migrate to New Zealand in the first place. Basically, Fraser thinks like the murderer. He's just using his mouth instead. His comment was described as disgusting by many people, including the Prime Minister of Australia. Anybody have read that, his comment? Yeah. And the last thing that we actually want to see is this disgusting command is somehow being linked to Christianity. At the end of his command, Fraser used a quotation from the Bible. This is what he said. As we read in Matthew 26:52, that's what Jesus said. All they that take the sword shall perish by the sword. And continue what Fraser said. And those who follow a violent religion that calls on him to murder us cannot be too surprised when someone takes them at their word and responds in kind. Basically, he got it all wrong. He didn't know what Jesus is talking about. Or maybe he knew what Jesus was talking about. He just tried to misuse that. Fraser ending quote the Bible seems that he was trying to explain what the shooter did is reasonable. Fraser thinks that because some extreme Muslim kill, so all Muslims are not blameless. Therefore, Muslims shouldn't be too surprised when they got killed. Certainly, this is not what Jesus meant. And certainly, this is not the first time Jesus being misquoted. If you have your Bible with you, if you flip to Matthew 26, verse 52. Matthew 26, verse 52. The reason that Jesus said that sort of proverb, that is like before Jesus was arrested. Jesus wanted to tell Peter to put the sword back. You see, when Fraser quoted Jesus, he quoted the second half. Matthew 26, verse 52. Put your sword back in its place, Jesus said to him. For all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scripture be fulfilled that said it must happen in this way? Jesus told Peter, no shooting. Jesus responded with non-violence. Even though he knows that being arrested means eventually dying on the cross. But Jesus is willing to submit so that the scripture would be fulfilled. If the scripture said being a Christian will be killed, are you willing to submit to that? The suspect is identified as a 28-year-old Australian citizen, and he has been charged with murder. 10 minutes before the attack, he sent an 87-page manifesto to the Prime Minister and some others. The manifesto is filled with anti-immigrant, anti-Muslim ideas. The intention is surely not to help the government to understand why he became a terrorist, but to create new terrorists or extremists. One thing that usually associated with this kind of far-right extremist is that superior people, in the case it's white people, should have greater rights than inferior people, here as Muslim. And our Prime Minister responded, although the Muslims are migrants or refugees here, I think you remember that, what she said, they are us. She said, they are us. And she said, the person who has perpetuated this violence against us is not us. Jacinda clearly told the far-right extremists that everyone is equal. These Muslims are our fellow Kiwis. They are our fellow human beings living in the same land. Although we have different religions, as a Christian, are we able to say that they are us? How would your action show that you see them as they are us? How would you love those neighbors? What would we do if we are the New Zealand government? Certainly we should continue to rely on the protection of God. But should we change the immigration policy? No. I think it's not because of this. Should we tighten the security of everything? That's actually what the terrorists aim to produce or create. They want us to live in a world with fear everywhere. I mean, from the minute that we hear about the incident in Christchurch, we know that New Zealand can no longer claim to be the safest place in the world. But should we give up? Our Prime Minister said she won't. She ended her response to the shooting on Friday with this. This is a place where people should and will feel secure. I'm not going to let this change New Zealand's profile. I'm not sure what you have done yesterday. Did what happened on Friday change your life? Yesterday, despite this shocking incident, my family still went to a children event that we have planned earlier. We thought about not going, but we went eventually. And as I walk into that place with many people around, I thought about the what ifs. Would a family in Christchurch still go to a place with many people during this time? I very much doubt. While the target of the far right extremists is the Muslims, the target of Muslim extremists may be anywhere with a lot of people. But should we live in fear of terrorists? Psychologists tell us that we shouldn't, because we usually overestimate the risk. We overestimate because we see picture, we see video over like 24 hours a day. That's why the shooter post live streaming on the web. They want people to live in fear. The fear of no safety. Or we should actually fear of things that was listed in the passage today. Romans chapter 8, 33-39. Trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sore. Paul would certainly add to that list if he lived in today. Bombing, shooting. If we should fear of anything, if you look at the scripture, we should fear of separating from the love of Christ. The love of Christ is the only thing we should fear of losing. But then we know that Paul said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sore? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conqueror through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither the present or the future, nor any powers, neither heights nor depths, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The only right fear that we should have is being separate from the love of Christ. That's the only thing that we should fear. And Paul said we don't need to fear. Because none of those risks can separate us from the love of God. Should we increase the security of the church from today? Especially if people like Fraser Anning is one of our members. If. Should we get a security guard on Sunday? Well, Jesus asked Peter to put away his soul. Jesus has prepared for the hard time. He has prepared for persecution. He has prepared for being shot. Have we? I know if the murderer walk into our church today, he won't be able to listen to whatever we tell them. But I also know that perhaps if he need to walk into a place to kill, this is the best place. Because nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Are we waiting to be slaughtered? Paul said, no. We are more than conqueror through him who loved us. Is it because we are strong enough? No. It's through him who loved us. Our confidence is not based on one's own human skills or strategic actions, but rests entirely in the hands of the one who loved us so much, as he not spared his own son, but gave him up for us all. We are still afraid sometimes. So in Psalms 56 it said, when I'm afraid, I put my trust in you. Even though, like one day, those who trust in Christ are shot the same way as what happened on last Friday, it does not mean that, maybe from a lot of people outside church, they will think God has abandoned you. But it doesn't mean that. We are still loved by God. God's love conquers in any circumstances. Yes, there are uncertainties in life, but we always have one thing that's fixed and certain, that is the love of Christ. We must trust that. That is our hope. When talking about hope, I have nothing better than just read the scripture. I want you to open Romans chapter 8. I'll read from verse 18. Paul said about the present suffering and the future glory. Verse 18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. Verse 22, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pain of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if they hope for what we do not have yet, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those who predestined, He also called. Those who called, He also justified. Those who justify, He also glorified. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sore? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Are we now ready to suffer hardship, persecution, because of our commitment to Christ and the gospel? Are we now ready to experience the triumph of Christ's love? Let us now listen to the national anthem. Usually we only sing the first verse, but actually there are five verses, and that the whole anthem is actually a piece of prayer. As we listen to this prayer, think about what God wants us to do in this land.
blessings never cease. Give us plenty, give us peace. God defend our free land from dishonor and from shame. God, our country's spotless name, crown her with immortal fame. God defend New Zealand.
May our mountains ever be freedom's rampart on the sea.
Whether you have been praying as we listen to the song, but now I would like to ask you to break into groups of two to pray. Can I have the announcement slides then? To pray for our Muslim friends, for those injured and those who have lost loved ones, for all in the city of Christchurch who are feeling distress and fear due to this event, for the police, ambulance and other emergency service, and the government, for the shooter and their supporters, because for any person to do their statements have such hatred in their hearts, such misalignment of the values of human life, may God soften the hearts of those who are motivated by hate. I've also added a few things that we have prayed this morning. Pray that as a church, our brother and sister will be called into action out of the compassion in our hearts and in obedience in God's will. And pray that we will not lose hope but bring hope to others. Pray that we will not fall into temptation and pitfall but remain a shining light in this world as we take actions. Get into a group of two and just pray with anything that come up in your mind. May the Holy Spirit move us so that we know, we listen, we can listen as we pray.